All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
And we've got an action-packed episode for you.
We took our show on the road today.
Yeah, we're at the Ephrata on Main Theater.
The new Main, not to be confused with the old Main.
Okay.
Yeah, 124 East Main Street in Ephrata. What's interesting about this theater is that it's the continuation of a tradition that started in 1938.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is we have a lot of history we're responsible for here, and it's sort of fun to be up here, and it's got a totally different vibe than like the Penn Cinema multiplex and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a nice little place here. I like the old style feel that it has.
The Art Deco.
Yeah,
it's cool.
And the posters you got out, like the real old posters on the hallway. That's so cool. Well, our main thing today is going to be the Lego Movie 2, the second part, the title that you love so much. But before we get there, we've got tons of things to talk about. Let's go ahead and get into the news from this week, just some stuff that came up. Avengers Endgame, 3 hours long.
Come on.
How do you feel about that?
I have mixed reviews, or mixed feelings about this. So here's the thing. As a guy who loves the Avengers, and in general, I'm down with long movies.
Mm-hmm.
Good, Bad, and the Ugly, pushing 3 hours.
Yeah.
Titanic's a long movie. Dark Knight, all those movies are long movies. Godfather's a long movie. So as a movie fan, I have no problem with long movies. My problem is I'm not sure the Avengers, I don't think I want 3 hours of the Avengers. Maybe I do. But the problem is what I can't get past is, as a theater owner, how am I going to schedule a 3-hour movie? Like, you're barely going to have room for 3 shows a day, right? So in order to get the normal 4 or 5 shows a day, you're going to have it on 2 different screens. You know, and the studio is going to be looking for at least 5, you know, so I just wonder if that's too long, if it's really, truly 3 solid hours. Now, if it's like 2 hours and 20 minutes, you know, or if it's pushing 2.5 hours, to me, that's a horse of a different color. That's totally manageable.
Well, how did you handle Lord of the Rings? That was pretty early in the...
We weren't open for Lord of the Rings.
You
weren't? No.
I thought Return of the King?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, the longest movies that we've had have been some of our classic movies that, you know, we've only had to show once or twice. Mm. We've had, like, oddball movies where, you know, like, for example, recently, in more recent memory, Vice.
Okay.
Vice was wicked long.
Yeah.
But it was a smaller movie, so everybody was content to let it play 3 times a day and be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
With Avengers, I mean, you know, there's going to be a lot of shows. A lot of people want to see that movie, including me. So... from an operations point of view, it's challenging. I don't love if it's truly 3 hours long. I'm gonna have a problem with that.
And they're talking about putting an intermission in it, which makes it longer.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, I guess, you know, if you want to go with that, here's where I fall.
Okay,
3 hours long with an intermission, then to me, okay, that's at least interesting enough. We'll make a run for it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, at least you're committing to it and you're saying, hey, this is a long movie. It makes it even that much more like an event, you know, something really special. And, you know, I'm always up for something different. I'm always up for new. And if this is new and exciting and we're going to have a movie that has an intermission in it, like Gone with the Wind, then great. I'm down.
But, I mean, let's not pull any chains here. You're going to show this movie.
Oh. 100%. 100% chance that we're going to show this film. This film could be 4 hours long and we'll show it.
Yeah.
But now I got a question for you, because you're not as conflicted as me.
Mm.
I mean, you're just straight up fan. How do you feel about 3 hours?
Here's the thing. you tell me a 3-hour movie and I'm exhausted already. I'm like, I don't know. But then how long was Infinity War?
I mean, it was 220.
220.
It was a long movie, but it wasn't.
It didn't feel long.
Right.
If it's done right, you won't feel it. But
right.
If they drag out the endings or...
That's the whole thing. If it's good, then great.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 hours is fine. If it's struggling, if they drag it out, then that's a real problem. I trust Marvel, though.
Because wasn't Avatar close to 3 hours?
Oh, yeah. Avatar was a long one. That's right.
And I feel like Avatar wasn't... Well, I'm thinking with rose-colored glasses, but I feel like it didn't feel long.
It did not feel long.
At the time.
But it was also not 3 hours. I mean, it was long, but it was not three.
Yeah. So my take is, if they do it right, go for it. But they got to do it right.
Yeah.
It won't kill the movie, but it could kill people's sense of the film, I think. And a serious thing to consider here is I feel like the superhero bubble is so close to popping. Like, it could keep going forever as long as they don't push it too far.
Right.
And if they get, like, too bad of a taste in the mouth of fans, I think that it could start to go in. And a movie that's overstays its welcome lengthwise could be it.
Well, and from a business point of view, you have to, like, my comment about operations, like, you have to... That has to go into your box office performance. So in other words, if every theater in the country is struggling to get 4 or 5 shows a day, then that's just straight up fewer shows for a movie to take.
Right.
So.
Okay, well, moving on. Sticking with some superhero stuff, we have Henry Cavill. Cavill. Superman. He's demanding both director and script approval before agreeing to make any future Superman movies. And apparently, this is part of his contract, which is also affecting Shazam. Because unless he signs, he has a cameo and it won't be in the movie.
Doesn't Shazam open in like 5 minutes?
Yeah, that's what I thought. When I read that, I was like, are you serious? So it must be like an end credit thing.
I guess.
It's a cameo. It's not like a...
I think it's hilarious when people who have... I just don't think that Mr. Cavill has the standing to make demands.
Mr. Henry.
I don't think he has earned, you know, the ability. You know, you're Robert Downey Jr. You get whatever you want. You know what I mean? You're, you know, any of these sort of more successful people who played Wonder Woman.
Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot. If she wants anything, she can have it.
Yeah.
You know, but to me, aren't we like last time I checked, Superman was like a struggling franchise.
Right.
It was not like crushing it, and people weren't demanding a Justice League 2. Like, I don't see any protesters in the streets demanding Justice League 2.
Well, this is a guy.
Don't get me wrong, they'll get it.
They'll get it, yeah.
It's coming.
Whether you demand for it or not. My question here is, this is a guy they paid way too much money to like, overdo a mustache instead of just waiting a couple months to refilm scenes.
Right.
Like, they're obviously, they want him, like, that must be where he's like, if they're willing to do this, then they'll give me what I want to be Superman.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other way of looking at it is like, hey, good for him.
Yeah.
That's what you want, get growth.
I mean, I don't think that the films have been that great, but he does embody the ideal of what I would envision Superman being like. Well, you're looking at me like you're like, no. He's not Christopher Reeve.
I've never been sold for a minute on this guy.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you, a Brandon Roth fan?
No, I've yet to be sold on Superman. Christopher Reeves, whatever. That's partly nostalgic, you know, whatever. But I'm waiting for the modern day Superman. I'm waiting.
You're waiting for, what's his face from Smallville to branch into the movies.
There you go.
I see what you're looking. Tom Holland. That's what. No, that's not it. Whatever. But okay. So there's rumors. Taika Waititi. I can never say his name right. The guy who directed Thor Ragnarok.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Easy for me to say. That there was rumors that he was going to direct Guardians 3, and he turned that down at the FXTCA. Which I don't know what that stands for, but it was something that he was speaking at. at a panel and they asked him about it and he turned it down. He said he will not be directing Guardians 3, which I'm fine with. I feel like he's really good at what he does, but it's not too similar, but it would be like, it's him. And I think that might be too much of a jump from James Gunn.
Right.
You know, they should get someone who can kind of imitate James Gunn to do Guardians 3.
Why don't they get James Gunn to do it?
That's so weird. Why not? You should take to Twitter about that. Right. And the last bit of superhero movie news, Aquaman 2 is in pre-production.
Nice.
And there's a spinoff called The Trench, which is supposedly going to be a horror film-themed DC movie starring those like creatures that were in Aquaman. That could be pretty cool. They looked awesome.
I'm on board.
Yeah. I mean, if they do some of the coolest stuff in that movie, they didn't spend enough time on, and it was those creatures and like that kind of mythology and stuff.
You mentioned this at our last episode.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
So I took it upon myself, because when you mentioned it, I was a little bit in the dark, like, what's he talking about? So I checked it out, and I have to say, like, I count myself, like, I'm on board. Mm-hmm. I think The Trench is a fantastic idea. I can't wait for it to take shape. I can't wait to start seeing some of what they do with it. I love it. I love the idea.
I think it could be really cool, especially if they really do, they already have, like, they're really stuck on this dark thing, but if they run with it and make it a horror,
right,
it could be pretty cool. I mean, I'm almost a little disappointed, not really, but that we never got to see, what was it, New Mutants?
Oh, yeah.
That got canceled. Yeah. They filmed it and then they never released it, but right. That was supposed to be an X-Men horror film.
Huh.
I don't know what they're doing with that. But that could have been interesting to see, like, a superhero horror movie. Because, what's that one? The one with the kids with the move things with their minds.
Oh. It.
No, not it.
Shoot.
I can't remember.
I'm blanking.
But you know what I'm talking about. And that was a really good one. So moving on from superheroes to a little bit lighter, Bill and Ted 3 begins filming in March.
You want to know how I feel about this?
How do you feel about that?
Here's how I feel about it.
Preach
it. Wait, you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Was there a Bill and Ted's 2? When did that happen? Where was I?
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, I'm 100% on board Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Wait, I did not realize number 2 came and went.
Wasn't number 2 called Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
The first one was called Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I know, I've seen 2. I can't think of what it's about, what the subtitle is.
Well, this raises a lot of questions. Is it going to be the same 2 guys, just older?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Older and wiser?
It's Keanu Reeves and the guy who hasn't done anything since Bill and Ted 2.
I'm really sorry to hear that.
It's not a remake, it's a continuation.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, you don't think they can hack it?
I don't know, maybe they can. I'm so hot and cold on Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Like, I love him and I hate him. John Wick is awesome. I love John Wick. I can't wait for John Wick 3. Of course, the Matrix franchise in general.
Yeah.
But then, like, some of his other stuff, I can't.
Do you feel like he's gotten too old to play the stoner guy?
I guess that's it. Yeah, that's a little bit it.
Yeah.
Like, he's gotten to the age where he's good as a hardened, crusty John Wick character.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Old stoners don't lose their cars. You know, they're older and wiser. They just stay home.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, I guess, was it Cheech or that was on that 70s show?
Yeah.
Kind of like, I don't know. It just kind of played out. But
so anyway, that's how I feel about Bill and Ted.
Okay, so you're on board. Awesome.
I'm on board. After the show, I'm gonna have to go confirm that there was a Bill and Ted.
There was a Bill and Ted too. Okay.
I take your word for it.
Now, I know last week you were saying that you didn't think there'd ever be any more Dune news. but there is.
Oh, thank God.
And they cast Javier Bardem as Stilgar. I just want you to know that's important.
So noted.
So okay, cool.
Because I love him.
Oh, I do too.
I think that's great news.
And he's not playing a crazy guy in this one. Like, he's playing like a – this character's kind of like a – a mentor. What's the guy from Wax On, Wax Off? He's the leader of the desert people and teaches.
Did you see him in that Woody Allen movie? had the word blue in it.
No,
it was, he was great.
Yeah?
He was really great. I loved him in a non-creepy, just normal sort of movie. Yeah, he was great.
He's really good. So, I think you got some news.
I have some news.
Okay.
Yes. So...
There's a Bill and Ted 2 coming out.
Yeah, I need to update my news. Let me confirm this for a second. So the last time, on the last episode, I shared with you my conspiracy theory about Alita.
Mm.
You remember that? I said, there really is no Alita movie. It's Fox's ultimate marketing campaign that they're releasing Avatar 2.
Yeah.
You know, and this is like this great, like, the ultimate marketing thing. Which, by the way, I still stand by. I think that would be absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And I hope that someday somebody with a product equally stunning, big news like Avatar, I hope that someday they market it under a fake title and release it.
Has that never been done?
I don't think so.
Next week, I'm going to find out.
All right, check it out. We'll get back to you on that. But anyway, so it turns out there is an Alita movie.
Okay.
And I can't wait to watch it. And I have a new prediction. Last time, I have to admit, the last couple episodes, we've been kind of making fun of it.
Yeah.
And I feel a little bit bad because the closer we get, the better I think this movie's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to watch it in IMAX 3D, and then on the next episode, we'll talk about Alita in 3D. But the big news that I think is news is on our last episode, we talked about the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
And I revealed that Black Panther was my pick to win Best Picture. And I would like to report that Black Panther last night won 2 Grammys.
Really?
Yes.
What was it for? What were the awards?
I don't know.
They won 2.
They were big ones. It wasn't like technical production. It was like best score. You know how it was like best score for a visual medium or something like that. But they were, you know, pretty big deal. They were nominated for 9 different categories, and they won 2 of them.
Wow.
And from the article they'd read, I mean, I'm not totally hip to the Grammys, but it looked like they were real significant awards. It wasn't like best, you know, auto-tuning or something like that. So I think that Black Panther is a big deal.
And I
continue to feel good about it.
that music in that movie was so good.
It was incredible.
And here's the thing. I forget what the name of the song is at the beginning of the end credits. The one that they actually played on the radio is such a good song. And I just feel like it didn't get played nearly as much as you would have expected it to. Like, not nearly as much as the song From A Star Is Born gets played.
Yeah.
And I just would expect it. Respected to go. Maybe that's just my taste in music. I don't know.
I think that's just your taste in music. I didn't expect it to get any radio. That's just you.
Fair
enough. So here's some news.
Mm-hmm.
And before I share this news, we need to raise a question here. Are we, when I say is everyone, I mean are you aware what Fathom is?
I know that it is the brand that brings plays and opera and like things that normally wouldn't get into the theater.
Right. So the name of the thing is Fathom Events.
Uh-huh.
And we've been with them since their early days.
Uh-huh.
We started with them when they were pretty much the only thing they had was their live production of the Metropolitan Opera out of New York City. They would broadcast it live to movie theaters around the country. And when we first opened Penn Cinema in Lititz in 06, we signed up and participated, and they were pretty young. I mean, they weren't new, but that's pretty much all they did. Occasionally, they did something else. Well, over the years, they have gotten really good at cultivating special releases. They've brought in to include rock concerts. We've done Garth Brooks, Celine Dion, you know, all kinds of cool people, and boxing events, live sporting events, other concerts, and they've gotten really good at picking and releasing movies that have some milestones. So for example, they just did Wizard of Oz, and they did that show, that movie that we're now, it was so successful with Fathom Events that Warner Brothers picked it up as a normal theatrical release of the World War I movie
Peter
Jackson did, They Shall Not Grow Old. So they picked that up. Fathom was behind the initial release of Free Solo, which ended up being picked up as a regular release also. So they are a force to be reckoned with. And if you have special interests, like I know you do, then you need to be hip to Fathom, because they are, in my mind, when I deal with them, they're on a par with Disney, Universal, Warner Brothers, Fathom, Paramount. Like, to me, they're right. You throw them right in that list of all the major studios. And the news is that they just had a record-breaking box office month. So they have crushed their, you know, previous records with Thou Shall Not, or They Shall Not Grow Old, and Wizard of Oz, and Dirty Dancing. So that's a big milestone, and I think it's worth, I think anybody who follows the movie business needs to make sure they know what Fathom Events is.
I like Fathom Events. Now, I haven't been to see like any of the plays or anything, but I think, wasn't This American Life up from it? And that was so much fun.
Yeah.
I know I've seen a couple animated films that I would not have been able to see on the big screen through Fathom Events.
Right.
A lot of Studio Ghibli stuff.
Yep. So they have My Fair Lady coming out soon.
Okay.
Which we're playing in Lititz. Well, actually, we're also playing at Wilmington. And we've already pre-sold 55, 60 tickets for a movie that's still, you know, a couple weeks away.
Wow.
Which is a huge pre-sale for a one-off, you know, movie.
Yeah.
So that's big news. And I just think it's interesting that the mainstream movie business starts to take notice of Fathom.
Now, what's the down, like, not that it's a downtown side, but, like, these are, they'll play with, like, one show, right? It'll be, like, one night. That's why it's an event, right?
Right.
Okay. So if you see something you want to see, you've got to get in on it.
You do.
Okay.
But with that being said, they are also smart enough. Mm-hmm. So, for example, They Shall Not Grow Old was initially a one-night event. It was like a Sunday afternoon with an encore Wednesday night. That's their typical routine, is you get a Sunday afternoon show at 2 o'clock and an encore Wednesday night at 7. But when the movies are real successful, or I should say when the show is real successful, they will add on encores.
Okay.
So if it's a movie that you're dying to see, you need to get in there and see it. It's a one-time deal. But if it's some kind of crazy success, then they're smart enough to sort of add on and roll with it.
Cool.
So that's good. Yeah.
Very cool.
So the next movie announcement here, Coming to America 2.
Was there a Coming America 1?
Well, you know there was.
Yeah, no, yeah, of course.
I mean, you're just being funny, yeah. But what were you doing when the first Coming to America came out? Were you with us?
Let's. What year was it? Let's not discuss age here.
Okay, well, let's put it this way. I was a youngster, and it was a really long time ago. I mean, I wasn't that young. I wasn't a little kid, but it was a long time ago. And here's my thing. I don't love that Coming to America 2 is a thing.
You don't?
I don't.
I don't understand why it is.
I'm a huge Eddie Murphy fan.
Yeah.
I've been a huge Eddie Murphy fan. I can recite Raw. I can recite all these comedy albums, the good ones from back when he was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Love Trading Places, 48 Hours. And he was great as Donkey or whatever. But I'm not, and Coming to America to me is one of those, I don't think it deserves the title of being, and I'm using air quotes again, I don't think it deserves the title of being an iconic film.
Okay.
You know, I don't think it's iconic, but let's just for the sake of conversation say that it is iconic.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of those iconic movies that should just be itself. Like, you're never going to get a 16 Candles 2. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A great example of this is Caddyshack 2. You never needed a Caddyshack 2. There should have never been a Caddyshack 2. But there was. And I think that was a mistake. And I think the only thing worse than making Coming to America 2 is making Coming to America 2 100 years later. Like, if they wanted to do it, they should have done it back.
Yeah, I'm just, I don't understand the reason. I agree with you. It should have been done before. It doesn't need a sequel. I feel like these are one of those things where you hear they're making a sequel, and a part of your brain takes away, for me at least, takes away what was special about the original, just knowing they're doing this.
Yes.
And you're like, I don't even really want to watch either now, you know.
Right.
Well, Coming to America is great, so you should watch it if you haven't seen it. But I just don't understand how it'll be good.
Is Coming to America racist?
That's my other thing. I'm curious as to how they can do this movie without crossing some of the new cultural lines, because I feel like it was parody, but it's so hard to say what's appropriate and what's not.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, you know, yeah,
you know,
I'm not on board. I think to me this falls in the category of like they're gonna have to really sell it to me.
Yeah.
They have a year and change to sell it to me, and they got some work cut out.
Well, maybe the trailer will play before before Bill and Ted 3. And then you can get on water.
Hey, there's a that's a perfect idea, David. You have an absolutely brilliant idea. Let's do Bill and Ted 3 and Coming to America 2 as a double feature.
As a double feature. You know?
We'll charge $5 to get in because that's about all anybody would pay.
You'll sell out none shows.
You'll sell out none shows. Okay. The next one is indirectly related to movies.
But, okay.
So I have a speaking engagement, March 5th.
Okay, cool. Yeah, tell me about this. Where are you
at
speaking?
The Parish Resource Center.
Okay.
We're friends with them. Penn Cinema supports their workshop series because we are, supporters of a lot of different community groups.
Okay.
And so they have asked me to come and speak about the intersection of faith at the movies, which is actually a really interesting topic to me. I'm a big believer that movies are essentially just a continuation of our human storytelling. So you start with the caves and you start grunting and then you start the cave paintings and then you start the verbal and, you know, then you get paper and then you get, you know, books and writing. And then, you know, eventually we put some of those pictures together real fast and made them into moving pictures. And then we added sound. And I think that the what we do at the movies is really important to our culture. Because some of the movies we see, like Bill and Ted 3, are just fun. You know, you're just going to giggle and it's just, you know, a little bit of a distraction from your life. But I think some of the movies that we play are really profound storytelling that we're telling each other, either reaffirming things that we already believe or challenging perspectives, trying to sort of open our hearts to different ideas. And I think that a lot of movies, and I would go out on a limb and say Black Panther falls into this category, a lot of movies include themes that you could label as being faith-based themes without being labeled a faith-based movie. So we have this faith-based movie coming out called Run the Race, which comes out later in February. And it's a great movie. I'm sure it's going to be a great movie, whatever. But then I think what's really interesting is when there's messages of faith that are in movies that are not sold as faith-based movies. You know, I think Blindside is a good example, you know, of that. Or I should say it's just an obvious example of that.
The Lion King.
Yeah, Lion King. Dumbo. So anyway, so I'm going to be doing this. Yeah, March 5th.
That's really cool.
Yep.
Okay, can people get in on this or is it a closed event?
No, absolutely. Well, it's pretty funny because if you're a member of the Parish Resource Center, you get in for free.
Okay.
But if you're just a regular guy, you got to pay $15.
Oh, snap, crackle, pop.
Who's going to pay $15 to hear me talk? You'll sell out none of those.
None of those.
But it's open to the public, and I think it's going to be a really interesting night. So I'll be sure to report back on the appropriate episode on how that goes and stuff.
Very cool. Very cool. This is I'm really interested to see, you know, to hear more about this because, you know, you see these ads for these, and I still have this mentality of these movies just being bad.
Right.
But then I'll be like, I'll turn to my buddy and be like, oh, yeah. And they'll be like, well, actually, I saw the last, like, three made by these guys, and they were good. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. I mean, I guess I
– Well, you got to get over the whole Fireproof thing.
Yeah.
I mean, Fireproof was a terrible movie. But it had a great message, and it connected well with the appropriate audience. And it was an incredibly successful movie that, you know, made – It made money, but that's not even the point. It made a successful connection with its audience, and it told the story that it wanted to tell.
Yeah.
And I think that it's certainly my position that these faith-based movies have been just getting better and better with every sort of generation of directors that sort of, I don't want to say come out of the shadows, but they sort of come forward and they say, hey, yeah, I'm making a movie, and it's a faith-based movie. Deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's kind of cool. There was a movie last year that came out called I Can Only Imagine, which, you know, was a really great movie.
Yeah, that's one of the ones that I've heard about.
Yeah.
So my opinion will surely be changed on those movies once I get to see them, I'm sure. It's really only my own fault for holding back. But speaking of seeing new movies, a couple trailers came out this week.
I love trailers.
I love trailers.
Once you start watching trailers, don't you want to just keep watching them?
Yeah. And over and over again until you were making fun of me for sitting around and analyzing trailers. So I don't know. So a couple big ones this week. the sun is also a star.
So we got this kid that works in Ephrata.
Yeah.
Named Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Love this kid. He's new. You know, we have the OG, original gangsta staff. Mm-hmm. You know, the OG staff that started with us in June of 2017. And then we have second generation staff who we love just as much. But Nick's second generation. And he was watching. We were watching some of these trailers together. And we watch a trailer for The Sun Is Also a Star,
uh-huh.
right? Which is based on a New York Times bestseller book. Kind of a touchy-feely, a little bit of a romantic, mm-hmm. very moving type of, I think, kind of like an inspirational type of a story. And his review of the trailer was this. The sun is also a star, but it has nothing to do with the sun or the star. My man is a literal man. It's neither astrology nor weather related, nothing.
Wow.
Doesn't take place on point, the beach. Though.
He's on point. It's not about suntan lotion.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that, I mean, honestly, like the sun is also a star. To me, getting to know each other and sort of getting to know our listeners and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like this is the kind of movie I'll go watch
mm-hmm.
and I'll probably cry at the end. But like, I'm looking forward to this movie. To me, this is a sort of a feel good. And I obviously haven't even seen the movie, but it makes me feel like you're going to feel good by being sad for a little while, you know, but then at the end, my expectation is that it all gets wrapped up nicely and mm-hmm. kind of like the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah. I got that feeling too. I'll definitely watch this movie.
Yeah.
I have a weird spot for like romantic films. It could be sad though. Like I watched the trailer and I'm like,
here's a challenge.
This could get you to cry.
Here's the thing. I was watching the trailer and I was thinking to myself, we have some time because it doesn't come out right away.
Right.
I think I'm going to read the book.
You're going to read the book.
I'm not a huge.
You don't read.
I do read, but I don't typically read like nonfiction or fiction.
Okay.
I don't typically read the books that get made in the movies. I like to read history. I like to read specifically best history about triathlon or endurance sports or long distance running or, you know, that kind of stuff, which is another passion of mine. And I love nothing more than reading a true story about someone who overcame this, that, or the other thing.
Yeah.
So that's what I like to read. I'm reading a book right now by the lady who crawled across the Ironman finish line in 1982 called The Crawl of Fame. But anyway, I think I'm going to read this book. It's not typically my type of book, but I think I'm going to read it just because I think it'll make for an interesting podcast to be able to compare the book.
Then I have to read it too.
Yeah,
so
I guess so.
So when we're down, we'll buckle down.
Okay.
And we'll get it out. All right. Okay. This one I got sent in an email with lots of exclamation points from my mother.
Oh, mom.
Yeah. She was like,
yo,
check this out. Shaft.
Shaft.
You weren't expecting me to pull out Shaft on that one,
weren't you? I knew it was either Shaft or Child's Play.
Yeah, one of the two.
Right. I'm down with Shaft. I'm 100% on board. Right?
Did you see the Samuel Jackson one?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't feel like I saw that one, so I need to watch that.
Yeah.
I feel like I might have missed that. I can't remember, but the previews for this look funny.
Yeah.
They look. I don't know. I'm totally on board.
Yeah.
I like the three-generation thing they've got going on.
Yep.
I think this will be a great film, and I really do wish it all the best.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you mentioned Child's Play. Are you a horror guy?
Yes, I am. I mean, right. it's I like horror movies.
That's good, because I'm not.
I don't need to run and watch. I guess I'm sort of what you would call like, what do you call it? Like... I like the big ones. You know, I loved it. You know, I'm excited for Child's Play. I'm excited for Pet Sematary. But like right now, there's a movie out called The Prodigy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because you can't see every movie, like I'm not going to prioritize The Prodigy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'd rather see some other movies.
Yeah. Trailer's creepy. I don't know that I need to, that this is like on my list of things I want to see. If we wind up talking about it, I'll need to see it.
So here's the thing. To me, so we have three horror movies to talk about. Child's
right.
Play, La Llorona.
La Llorona.
How do you say it? Llorona?
Yeah.
La Llorona. La Lloyd. What's that from? Like a movie, La Lloyd.
That sounds like it's from Dumb and Dumber.
So we have Child's Play, La La Llorona mm-hmm. and Pet Sematary. And Child's Play to me is like, whatever. Yeah. You know, it's going to play. It's PG-13, I think. And it'll come out. And the people that really want to see it will see it. It'll probably do $20 million. You know, it's fine. Whatever.
Of the three of these, I think this is the least
yes.
scary one.
Oh, least scary one, least successful one, least yeah. interesting one. It's yeah. the least of all it's, of these.
Even though Pet Sematary is also a remake, this one is more, for lack of a better word, played out.
Yes.
Yeah.
La Llorona, I think, looks really interesting. This one might be, you were asking me if I'm into horror movies, this one might be too scary for me.
Mm. Yeah, the trailer.
This is a doozy. Yeah. This is a real doozy.
Yeah, this is one of the ones I watch the trailer and it's like, I don't ever want to watch that trailer again.
Right.
And I definitely right. don't want to see it
you
at night.
You scrub my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that leads us with Pet Sematary, which is coming up pretty soon. That's April 5th.
Yeah.
That's like a little more than a month, month and a half away. I am psyched for Pet Sematary. I think it looks scary as hell. I'm not sure that I'm ready for it, but I'm already like got the butterflies in my stomach, like thinking about myself walking yeah. in to see this movie. I can't wait.
And it doesn't look too hokey to me or anything like that. Like I would have might have thought, but the trailer is scary. It was enticing enough that it's like, I kind of want to see that.
And who's the guy?
What's yeah. his name? He's in like everything.
I should have written it down because I do love him. He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. He's the kind of actor who like, you've seen him in 100 things. You can never remember what you saw him in.
Right.
But you remember liking him in it.
Yeah.
And of course, Stephen King. I mean, to me, this is a film that's worthy of a remake. Like, for example, I wouldn't have liked it if it was Pet Sematary 2. You know, but if they're saying, hey, we're going to take another shot at Pet Sematary, it's, you know, we're not trying to be totally different. We're just remaking it in yeah. the truest sense of the word. It reminds me of like when Jimi Hendrix covered, you know, Bob Dylan's songs, you mm-hmm. know, and he's going, hey, I'm not trying to say I'm any better than Bob Dylan. I'm just saying this is how we play Watchtower, you know, and then he put down this iconic, you know, version.
Yeah.
And so I'm psyched. Pet Sematary. I think that trailer looks great. The movie looks great. I'm on board.
When he tells the wife to hug their child, she's reanimated, and you're just like,
yeah. Oh, that's so- I like when he pulls the covers back and his feet are dirty.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Anyway, I might have to see that one. So speaking of scary, Dumbo. We got two Disney films here, yeah. live action Disney yeah. films to talk about. Do you care at all about Dumbo?
No.
I don't care. I never liked the original. I don't feel like I want to see this. I haven't talked to anybody who's been like excited about it. Do you know anyone in your circles that wants to see this movie?
No.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean a whole lot because you and I are not the audience.
Yeah, it's true.
These are kids. I need to talk to my nephew.
Okay.
You know, who's all 10 right. and see what he thinks. I think that this movie is going to be great. I think it's going to be beautiful.
Mm.
And I think it has the potential to surprise us. With all that being said, no, I'm not excited about it.
It's Tim whatever. Burton. Hasn't he kind of like swung a couple misses?
Yeah.
Lately?
So did M. Night.
That's
and true. Glass was great.
Okay, all right, all right.
I mean, just because you swing a couple misses doesn't mean you stop making movies. I mean, you stop going true. To see his movies.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, it's just a sad story.
The one that raises questions for me is the Will Smith genie in Aladdin.
Okay. I do not know how I feel about this at all. Part of me is like, okay, I mean, I'm kind of on board now that they're showing blue. Before, he wasn't in any like CG effects or anything. Everything else in this movie looks beautiful. I mean, I love the authentic casting of the actors and stuff. I think mm-hmm. that's great. Is Will Smith funny enough to pull off what in my head I will always compare to Robin Williams?
If you're asking me if Will Smith is as funny as Robin Williams, the answer is no way.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely not. And I'm a huge Will Smith fan. I met Will Smith once.
Really?
Yes. We're wow. buddies.
Like super tight.
Not really. and I didn't actually meet him. I just was standing next to him for like 5 seconds as he was talking to somebody else and then moved on.
That's basically
he never even knew I was there, but it was still really cool. And I'm I've been a huge Will Smith fan forever. My concern is I'm kind of like you. Like I kind of want to see like if he's trying to be as funny as Robin Williams, then he's going to fail. Mm-hmm. You know, but is there another way to approach that character? Mm-hmm. You know, can you be funny and entertaining, but, you know, maybe he's going for something a little more soulful or a little more heartfelt. You know what I mean? Is he going on for that? Is there a fresh take on the angle? To me, this is very similar to Dumbo in the sense that I think it's going to be a beautiful movie. It's going to be a huge hit with the kids, a huge hit with everybody. And everybody will compare Will Smith to Robin Williams. And if you're comparing, if you're watching the movie to compare it to Robin Williams, then no, it's not going to be as good.
Yeah.
I think there's no way around that. But I think that there's other ways to make a great movie, and I think I'm excited to see it.
Right now I'm on board. I'm on board. But I want to see like the next trailer where they show more of the genie doing stuff before I'm say like I'm pumped.
Yeah.
But as otherwise everything else I've seen is enticing to me. So, well, that's movie trailers.
Wait.
What? Is there another one?
There's another one, but we can cover it in 3 seconds or less.
Okay.
The Missing Link number 2/ Ice Age.
Oh, yes.
Let's do Ice Age again.
Let's do Ice Age again. You remember how we talked about me not liking the animation in Isle of Dogs?
Yeah.
This is similar, but I like this.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Okay. But I'm not necessarily saying I'm like looking forward to it or anything, but I would watch this. I would watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So there you go. All right. So the weekend's come and gone. And I wasn't what I would call a big weekend for movies. What would you say?
It's all relative.
It's a relative movie.
No, I said it's all relative.
Oh, okay.
So it was not a big weekend, but after such a dismal January, it felt like we were back in the game.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's been so many slow weekends. Actually, what's interesting, we talked about Fathom events. Our weekends at Penn Cinema have actually been pretty busy because of the Fathom event stuff.
Okay.
We had a huge day with Wizard of Oz where we just couldn't put it in enough theaters. Mm-hmm. We've been selling out They Shall Not Grow Old like crazy. Dirty Dancing, you know, sold out a bunch of theaters. So... But this was the first weekend since Christmas time that we had a proper hit. And I know that Lego Movie underperformed or whatever, mm-hmm. But it was good to be busy again. And it was not the kind of busy weekend that you get in the summertime or around Christmas, but it was definitely a busy weekend. We'll talk about Lego Movie in a minute, but there were three other movies that I think need to be mentioned.
Sure.
Cold Pursuit with Liam Neeson.
Did anyone show up for this?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. You would never know it from reading the interweb. But they came to it. A friend of mine came to the Saturday night show at 7:30 p.m. and had to come back the next day because it was sold out.
Wow.
Now, I'm not saying it was our number one movie or that it was a big hit or anything crazy like that. And in this new day and age with recliners, a sellout is not quite as impressive as it used to be. Mm. But... yes, people came out for Liam Neeson, and the internet is out there talking about, is this the end of Liam Neeson? Because it didn't gross $100 million, but nobody ever thought it was going to gross $100 million.
Yeah.
Like, my thing is, people keep saying, why does Liam Neeson keep picking these sort of mundane, revenge, old guy movies with Lionsgate? And my answer is because you put a couple million bucks in your pocket.
Yeah.
I don't care how rich you are. If you could do a job and make a little movie and put a couple million bucks, you know, it's not, he didn't have The Godfather or some other epic, you know, iconic best movie of the year knocking on his door.
Right.
Why not? Yeah. I don't have any problem with him taking this movie. It's obviously a cheap movie. It's what I would call a throwaway movie. And what I mean by that is next year, we're not going to remember Cold Pursuit.
Right.
We probably won't even remember it by the summertime.
Yeah.
You know, but it was a good movie that people came out to see, and I have no tolerance for this discussion of, is Liam Neeson done? Is he over? Yes. You know, is he gone or whatever?
He's not done.
No way.
But did you gauge any of the reactions of people coming out?
Yes.
Are they liking it?
Yeah.
Like, because I understand people coming out to see it because of his reputation for, like, taking and stuff. But is it actually they're positive?
They are positive. Now, there was a little bit of eye rolling because this is squarely in the category of predictable movies.
Okay.
If... whatever. You're not coming to see Glass.
Right.
You know? You're not going to be on the edge of your seat wondering if he makes it to the end of the movie.
Right.
You know, this is squarely in the category of, you know what's coming, you know what's going to happen. You know, there's going to be 20 bad guys shooting at him. None of them are going to hit him.
Mm.
And then he's going to fire 6 shots and kill 6 people. you know, like it's that typical thing. So no, I'm not saying it's a quality movie. I'm not saying like drop what you're doing and go see it. But I just feel like the leap to conclusion that it's the end of Liam Neeson was overplayed. Mm-hmm. Another big movie this weekend, What Men Want. This movie sort of, it sort of delivered on expectations. I don't think it did anything to sort of impress anybody or change any minds, but it was sort of a good date movie. It did pretty well. That seems to be the sort of consensus. And our experience at Penn Cinema was very similar. It was our number one movie in Wilmington, number two movie in Huntington Valley, number two movie in Lititz, pretty good. You know, pretty well received. I think it's another one that, you know, a year from now we're probably not going to remember.
Yeah. From what I've heard about this movie, it's what you'd expect.
Yeah.
Like it performs as well as you want. It gives you exactly the types of jokes and things that you would expect from it.
And some of the sports cameos are cool, you know, that I enjoyed. I forget, what was that Amy Schumer movie? It was kind of like that, where there was a lot of, it was fun to see some of the sports people, you know, on the big screen.
So riddle me, because you saw it, right?
Yeah.
Is it connected to What Men Want at all? No.
No.
It's a
remake. I mean, it's the same premise.
Right.
Right. But no, there's no, it's like, not like winks the same, or nods.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know if it'd be like the same
universe.
Yeah.
Nope. And then the last one I'll talk about before we get to Lego is The Upside.
Okay.
Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart.
Yeah. They're still doing good.
This movie.
Yeah.
There's something about this movie. People are loving it.
Okay.
And they're crying and they're moved.
Really?
And it's just a great movie. And now we're into, I think, our fifth week with it. And it's still hanging around the top five at our theaters. And in a couple cases, it went up. I think I told you that last episode that the gross went up, and it went up again. And I think that this, so for example, when I programmed out my theater for Valentine's Day, I moved this to a bigger auditorium. I think this is going to be the big Valentine's Day movie.
Yeah.
And I think when they write the short story of 2019, this is not going to be on the list. But when somebody writes a thorough, like, recounting all 12 months of the year, you're not going to be able to talk about 2019 without this movie, The Upside.
So it came out in January, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just from the previews, I felt like this should have been a December movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if they knew it was going to be so well received, they would have done it on Christmas.
Okay. Because it felt like that type of movie.
Yeah. I'm not sure, but it might have come out. Was it in New York and LA on Christmas time?
It may have been.
May have been.
It would have made sense.
Yeah. It definitely came to the... those of us in the smaller markets.
Well, there's a note here you have about Rebel Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about this.
There's a movie coming out for Valentine's Day called Isn't It Romantic?
Okay.
And my question is this, and we'll pose it right now, and then on our next episode we'll answer the question.
Okay.
Can she carry a romantic comedy?
Is this the one where she wakes up and it's she's living in a romantic comedy? Like, she gets hit on the head and everyone's like singing and dancing?
I'm sorry to report that I don't know. Here's what I know about the movie. Here's what I know about the movie. Stars Rebel Wilson.
Okay.
88 minutes long.
Okay.
So it's a great date movie for non-moviegoers, people who want to get in the movie and get to dinner, or, you know, the want to get to movie and they want to go on a date, but they want to have drinks after. I mean, the movie's not even 90 minutes long. So it's the opposite of Avengers. So it's nothing to get six showtimes in a day. Easy peasy. Two evening shows, there's like a 6 o'clock and an 8:15. You know, it's really easy. I don't know really much about this movie, but my biggest question is, it's really funny that you say that because I have no idea what the movie's about. I know that the whole marketing campaign has been Rebel Wilson.
Okay.
So we'll see if she can carry a movie or not.
Maybe she can start doing her own thing. I mean, just like Melissa McCarthy kind of pulled out of that comic thing to be the main star.
Yeah, we'll see.
So, cool. Okay. Well, before we head into Lego Movie, make sure you're aware, spoilers ahead.
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay, Lego Movie 2, the second part.
Wait, I want to say something.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
and you were worried about spoilers for the Lego movie, I want to hear from you. What's our email again?
Podcast@penncinema.com.
Podcast@penncinema.com. I want you to email me and say, Penn, I was listening to your podcast, but I was worried about spoilers for the Lego movie. So I tuned out. I want to know you.
Okay. There you go. Podcast@penncinema.com. Send it in. Yeah. Okay. So, Penn, what is this movie about?
Well, you saw the first Lego movie, right?
Yeah, I did. I did.
It's about that.
Oh, okay. did you enjoy it?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I did. It was fine.
Yeah. Again, you were saying like we're not the right audience for Dumbo. I think maybe a little bit of this one been the same. Whereas with the first Lego movie, I felt like I thought that, and then I saw it, and I felt like I was the audience.
Right.
This one, I felt, well, they proved that that I'm okay for this.
Right.
And I saw it, and I thought, not so much anymore.
Yeah. To me, this kind of lands a little bit with, like, my experience with the first Transformers movie, okay, my experience with the first Hangover movie. Like, I'm talking about movies that were really fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came and saw the sequel, and I was like, oh, it's not as fun when it's not, you know, when you sort of know, like, the first Lego movie was, like, I was like, well, how are they going to do this?
Yeah.
How are they going to make sense out of this? What are we doing? You know, I was like, right, it was so new and weird and interesting, and I saw it, and I loved it. And now it's like, more of the same.
Has it been 2 or 3 years?
Yeah.
Something like that? And they did 2 other Lego movies.
Right. In Lego between. Batman and Ninjago.
Ninjago. I didn't see Ninjago. I didn't see Batman. But you said Batman was good.
Yeah.
But I agree that it's like, it was, the animation style was fresh. The idea was fresh.
Right.
And now, it's not that it's played out. But you could say there's any like spectacular sequel like Transformers or more prominently for me, The Matrix. Like all that cool stuff going on, and then you see the second one, and you're just like, I mean, the first time, I guess I was really in for the wow factor. Now, I feel like we're being a little bit down. I feel like this is a perfectly fine film.
I do too.
I think that it's great for kids. It's got some great themes for kids. Sharing, you've got trust stuff, mm-hmm, including everyone. All that kind of stuff. And I thought those messages were handled not only well, but like they kind of snuck them in there in a way that, you know, a kid wouldn't necessarily see it as like.
It was not preachy.
Yeah.
But it had these great messages.
Right.
No, I agree with you 100%. If you're looking for something to do, this is a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have fun, get a Twizzlers and a Coke or a large popcorn or whatever, you know, come in and have fun. And you'll definitely laugh. You know, it's funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, that's exactly right. The problem is it didn't live up to the magic of the first one, mm-hmm, which is sort of where it comes down to for me. My favorite part of this movie was the credits, the song over the credits.
That was really good.
Yeah.
It was Lonely Island again, because they did it the first one.
Something
too.
Like that. Yeah.
It had a variation of the catchy song, but it wasn't quite the same as Everything Is Awesome for me.
Right.
But no, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. It's about brothers and sisters getting along, sharing, and it takes place 5 years later. I thought they did a really cool job at that.
Yep.
I
love the opening scene with the sisters' Legos coming in. And
they're wrecking everything.
Yeah. And they're like not put together quite right. Like, remember that? Like,
yep,
when there was either some kid, like he didn't build them right, you know, and didn't care.
I love it. That's awesome. And, I think my favorite part of this movie, and it's going to be weird to say, Maya Rudolph.
Oh,
I thought she was,
love her,
great as the, not only great as the mom, but the idea of my head of her and Will Ferrell being married just cracked me up. And anytime you hear him like yell something and the look on her face, like, ugh.
She's brilliant. I just love her.
She's so good. And she's, I mean, she's not in the movie for much, but she's great in it. I'm trying to think of the other big points of real interest here. Oh, did you watch this in like by yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is another one of those things we were talking about, seeing a movie with people can change your perspective. Because right. I saw it, almost sold out theater, 11 o'clock in the morning, full of kids.
Nice.
And they were just loving it and hooting and hollering. And it was like, you know, like, if it was a serious movie, I'm like, oh, this is not what I want to do.
No. But
I knew going right into it,
right.
I was like, no, this is going to be
perfect.
I can judge what people are thinking. And it was right. I mean, I got the kids like going up and down in the recliners next to me, and then the grandfather completely snoring on the other side of me, and I was totally in the element. I was like, this is exactly what I think this needs. So is this the best movie ever or the worst movie ever? That's the new thing. Well, sure.
No, I it's neither.
It's
obviously.
It's neither.
Yeah.
It's got to be. I mean,
so dude. what's our thing? We've sort of developed like this on board, off board thing.
Okay,
I'm on board with it.
Okay,
I'm on board.
Okay, I'm totally on board.
Yeah,
I like that. Let's go with the on board, off board.
Yeah,
yeah. So, yeah, definitely go see this movie if you're looking for something to do. If you've got any kids,
especially if there's some kid in your life, because you know kids don't want anything.
Yeah,
they just want you to do stuff with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you can't think of anything else to do. Take your nephew or your niece or your son or daughter, you know, or your little brother, your little sister. Take somebody or, you know, just amuse yourself, you know, and go see this movie. It's fun.
And then go home and play with Legos.
Right. But if you're going to be like a critic about it, don't go.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a coworker who came up to me, like stopped me as I got in the door this morning and was like, did you see it? And I was like, yeah. She's like, what'd you think? I was like, oh, it was good. She was like, my kids loved it.
Yeah.
And they went to the store and they wanted to buy all the Legos.
Yeah.
And so it's great for kids. So totally on board. Well, before we wrap things up, let's go over what are you reading? What are you watching? Anything you want to share or talk about that's kind of in your personal life right now? No, I'm just kidding.
Go around and share our most embarrassing things that happened this week.
Yeah.
So last week you mentioned about Kimmy Schmidt, mm-hmm. the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. And I was like, huh. I went back and now I'm rewatching Kimmy Schmidt.
So good. That show is so good.
I love her.
Yeah. I love Titus.
Titus is the best.
He's the best awesome. On that show.
But she says, why is your neck greasy? And he said, I fell asleep eating wings. Don't judge me. No. It wasn't wings. I fell asleep eating a Hot Pocket.
She walks out and he's in the living room with three pizzas and he just puts his hands out. I don't have any pizza.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Kimmy Schmidt, but here's the one I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
A friend of mine, we were talking about, I was saying how, did we talk about Russian Doll? I think we already talked about that.
No, we didn't. You and I didn't talk about it.
Oh, we didn't?
No.
Oh, well, then that's on the top of my list because I watched the entire season since the last time I saw
really?
You. Yes.
Wow.
Okay. I didn't put it on my list today because I thought we already talked about it.
No,
but
no.
If we have not, then I'm telling you, stop what you're doing and go watch Russian Doll. It is Natasha whatever from Orange is the New Black, the redhead. And
well, you know I'm in them.
She is amazing. And this movie, it's a Netflix show, one season, and it's like half hour episodes, so it goes real quick, you know. But I just love it. It's a little bit like edgier Groundhog Day.
Okay.
She wakes up and keeps dying. You know, it's not Groundhog Day. She doesn't go through an entire day. She just keeps dying and starting over again in this bathroom where she's washing her hands and face. Anyway, I love Russian Doll.
Okay.
Talking to a friend of mine, and she said, oh, I'll have to check that out. I can't stop watching Maniac. So
okay.
I tuned into Maniac, which stars Emma Stone and Jonah Hill.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about this.
So here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like it.
Really?
I didn't get through the first episode, and people are telling me, like, what's your problem?
Are you going to push on?
I'm gonna, only because today I had a little text conversation where I was motivated. She was like, stick with it. But it's really slow. It's really weird. I'm fine with weird. I love weird. Mm-hmm. But it's slow. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna try to push on.
Did you ever push through Roma?
I did not.
Okay.
You?
No.
Yeah.
No. But I did go see Free Solo.
Oh. Were you able to watch the whole thing without covering your eyes?
Yes.
Okay.
However,
well, you're tougher than me.
I didn't watch the whole thing without clutching my jacket really tight or the arms on my chair. And there were definitely like, whoa, moments of this. And I got a chance to catch an IMAX. So, and it was funny because like we were walking out, saw with my buddy Ryan, and walking out. Usually we're chatting it up after a movie.
Right.
Totally quiet.
Yeah.
We get to the lobby and we're almost out the door and we kind of both stop like, what are we doing? We're not even like talking to each other. We look at each other and I'm just like, holy crap. He's just like, dude, I know. Right. We started talking about it. He's like, I almost got up to leave because I thought I was going to throw up.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so intense.
And yeah, tense. Yeah. That's the word, tense.
Yeah.
I loved it. It's one of my favorite – well, it's definitely on the top of my 2019 list so far.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll stay on top, but it's right up there. But while I was watching it with my buddy, I leaned over and I said, I kind of want this to be over. I'm so like exhausted.
Yeah.
Like, I can't keep watching this. Because did you know ahead of time like whether or not he dies?
No. And here's the thing. There was no part of me that thought he had a chance of dying until we recorded the last show. And you're like, I didn't know if he lived or died. And then I was like, maybe he dies. And so right. I was like, I didn't want to know. And and I was waiting for him to die.
Yeah. Me too. Me too.
Yeah. Anyway, go see Free Solo if you get a chance. Other things for me this week, I'm reading Cibola Burn by James S.A. Corey. Hmm. It's book 4 in The Expanse. Have you read any of The Expanse? You don't do a lot of reading. So Expanse books are great. This is the book this month for the Dune Saga podcast, which I'm also a part of. And it's great. I'm loving it. I love The Expanse. If you want to hear more about that, tune in
there. I like how you keep saying you don't read. You don't do a lot of reading. You
know, I'm just making fun. That used to be your go-to thing when we would record the
Still
Lancast.
Still is. Why would I read when it's going to be a movie? Exactly. Why would I read it?
That's what you used to say. Yep.
It's true.
Yep. And the last thing for me is I dipped into My Hero Academia, which I like animation. I dipped into it, and it's not really doing it for me. So
no?
If you're trying to keep up with the kids like sometimes I am,
yeah,
It's a big popular anime right now, and I just didn't care for it.
I'm going to give you a little homework assignment for the next episode.
Sure.
I want to talk about The Batman.
The Batman.
The Batman.
Okay.
What is this? What is this all about?
What do you mean? Like the new
trailer
movie?
That's online that's directed by Ben Affleck, but says it's coming out. Looks like it maybe already came out. Was it on TV? Was it a webisode?
I don't know anything about this.
All right.
Okay. We're going to have to discuss this.
So come back next week.
Come back next week. All right. Okay. Speaking of next week, our review will be
Alita. I mean, we didn't talk about this ahead of time, but it damn well better be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
by far the most interesting movie of the week. Maybe of 2019.
Yeah. I mean, who knows what this is going to be. So definitely tune in for that. So once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.